Listen when you want, how you want. This is Tone FM.
Listen again.
Time now to welcome to Tone FM one of England's very best singer-songwriters, recording artists. A warm welcome to Judy Zook.
Thank you very much. Thank you for having me.
Absolute pleasure. So it's going to be a busy year for you. You have a new album out called The Unsinkable, Judy Zook.
It's called Jude the Unsinkable.
Oh, Jude the Unsinkable. Okay.
Yeah. Not very Jude, important.
Not Jude the Obscure.
No, Jude the Unsinkable.
Okay. Well, and also there is a tour coming up later in the year. We'll get to that later. But first of all, I'd like to take you back to the beginning and tell me, how did music find you and how did you find music?
There was never a moment when I suddenly realised that that's what I wanted to do. But I am quite an emotional person and I used to write a diary. And at the end of every day, I would try and write a little sort of poem that summed up my day. And then I had a mad crush on my history and English teacher, and he was into Bob Dylan. So I decided to try and teach myself guitar and make him listen to my music. I mean, there were, you know, it wasn't quite as simple as that, but that's sort of where I felt I started. And it just went from there, really. I found that as quite an emotional young girl, I found it difficult to talk to people about how I felt, but I found it quite easy to write a song about it. And it used to make me feel better when I'd actually written something positive from a negative. And people seemed to think I sounded all right. So that was nice to feel like I was doing something that people enjoyed. I never wanted to be a famous pop star or anything like that. I just loved making music. And I was very lucky to, you know, to write Stay With Me Till Dawn. And for that to be something that's given me a whole career, really, that song, even though I've got 22 albums and I think I've done better things, but who am I to say that? You know, really, for me, my music's for me, but it's also for the audience that listen to them, and I'm really lucky that people do. So,
sure. Well, I have to say, you said who are you to say, but I can tell you've got a lot of fans out there, and you've made a lot of great albums. I mean, one that comes to mind, just off the top of my head, is it called Wonderland? Was that one of yours?
Oh yes, yes, that was mine. Yes.
Oh, I tell you, that was a terrific album. It really was.
Oh, thank you. I like the song Wonderland. I always like that. Yeah. Weirdly, one day I was in my car and this track came on the radio, and I turned to my friend and I said, "Oh, I wish I could do something cool like that." And it was my own track, but the intro is so cool, and I didn't recognize it. Right. And it was so. It was very. I do like that album.
Yeah. So going back to like your first recordings, was it Tony Visconti at Good Earth gave you your first opportunity to record?
Yes, he did, really. Yes. That was the first label I was with. But it was right just before his company. Well, I think I don't exactly know what happened, but the company stopped working. Mm-hmm. I had my first single out. And it went down, I think, the next day. But it wasn't my fault. Right, it was something much more complicated than the artists that were on that label. But well, yes,
I suppose very nice that's what happens when you were the smaller label. But then it wasn't very long before Elton John and Rocket Records came along. That must have been amazing to sign to them.
Well, it was. It was. And it was, I went from, basically, I knew, I'd been on the label with Tony Visconti, with my future husband, actually, Paul Muggleton, and he was the main band on Tony Visconti's label. So he already knew Elton and they liked his band. So it was him who suggested that I went to Elton. And luckily, the company liked me and signed me.
And I was also reading that it wasn't before long that you found yourself as the support act on a North American tour. I mean, with Elton John, I mean, that must be mind-blowing.
It was terrifying. We were playing to like 20 or 30,000 people every night. And I hadn't really done much live work before. And to be honest, in my career, the being on stage has always been the most difficult thing for me. I'd have been fine if I could have stood behind the speakers and sang and not be seen. I just don't like being the center of attention or being looked at. But, you know, it was amazing. And actually, in those great big gigs, you can only really see the first two lines because of the lighting. So it wasn't as amazing, and well, not amazing, it wasn't as shocking as you might think. But it was when we did Central Park with him, because that was 450,000 people and it was in the daylight. So wow. You could see everything and everyone. And we played our set in 20 minutes when it was supposed to be half an hour. But we were all very scared and we just played extra fast.
Wow. Each yard.
And I might have had a few whiskies as well before I went on.
Well, you probably needed it, yeah?
I certainly did. With Elton, I have to say. I know he doesn't do all that anymore, but yeah, we sat backstage before I went on and drank a bottle of whiskey.
Yeah. I mean, was it Elton sort of creatively involved with you at all at Rocket, or was it kind of just left to your own devices and the A&R men? I think, was it Lem Lubin? Was Lem Lubin there at the time?
Lem Lubin was there, yes. He wasn't very involved, really. Yeah. He came down the studio a couple of times. But yes, he was involved in it then. And Elton, it's difficult to know because they were very good. They let us sort of do more or less what we wanted. And then you don't know how much goes on behind the scenes. I mean, I've got a lovely little message that I kept in my photo book from Elton saying how, you know, how happy he was to have me on the label. And, you know, you have to hope and assume that he did. I mean, he's always been very kind to me. So,
Well, just before we play, because we have to play Stay With Me Till Dawn, but just before we play it, can you tell me, because I've spoken to other artists about this, when they make a record and the first time they hear it on the radio, the kind of excitement, or, you know, they're bowled over when they hear, you know, whoever it was back in the day, could have been the late Steve Wright or whoever, playing your record, and you're driving along in the car and you're going, oh my God, that's me.
Well, I've not tired of that. That's always an exciting thing and it's magical, but you just don't want it to stop and you wonder who's listening. And yeah, it's fantastic. It's a fantastic thing.
Well, okay. Well, at this juncture, I think it's time for us to play what to me is one of the great records. There's no two ways about it. So this is Judy Zook and Stay With Me Till Dawn.
Is this a game you play? I don't understand what's going on. I can't see through. Show.
Oh, I loved hearing that, Judy. That is honestly, that is such a great record. In fact, when I was doing some research on you, I think it was the BBC in 2002, they were conducting a poll going back to the 50 years of the UK charts, and they asked the listeners to nominate their favourite records, and Stay With Me Till Dawn was in the top 50.
I think it was actually in the top 40. I think it was, can't remember what number, I think it was 39 or something. But yeah, that's fantastic, isn't it? I mean, I feel so lucky that that song happened. And I'm very also lucky that I still love it. And so I don't mind singing it over and over again. It still feels fresh to me when I sing it. And I will always sing it live because I know that's what people want to hear. And I love singing them my new stuff, but I'm lucky that I like singing Stay With Me Till Dawn. And I still go back to how I felt when I wrote it. So yeah. I'm good.
Oh, well, you know, obviously there is, over the years, there are some recordings that date, but that doesn't, it just doesn't date at all.
Oh, I think that's to do with the producer as well. He did a very good job.
Was it John Punter?
John Punter, yes. I would have probably just done Stay With Me Till Dawn with the piano.
Yeah.
But he was the one that suggested all the big drums, and which actually I absolutely love now. Yeah.
Well, I tell you, the other thing also was Paul Buckmaster did the orchestration, and that is amazing.
Amazing. He was amazing. And we became good friends and right until when he died a few years ago. And yes, I mean, he was magical. I've never been that keen on sort of a lot of string playing. Mm. I've not been someone that loves classical music. So, you know, meeting Paul Buckmaster and hearing all the stuff he did on the early Elton stuff as well was so beautiful. And it made me realize, you know, that strings can be absolutely beautiful, moving music.
Yeah. Well, obviously, I did mention about the new album, Jude the Unsinkable. I get it right this time. I was just wondering, with somebody who's got a breadth of work like yourself, over 20-odd albums, how do you choose what to play live?
With great difficulty. I don't know. We just sort of usually sit down and I'll write a list of things that I'd like to do. I mean, it's difficult because I don't go out with a big band anymore, really. I did do when I did this tour a few years ago with Beverly Craven and Julia Fordham, and between the three of us we were able to do a proper band gig. But you know, when I do it on my own, it's quieter, but it's very personal, and I hope people like it. I mean, I still sing, I'm still me singing, but I try and find songs from across the whole of my career. Yeah. But I think there tends to be more of the early album and then the newest album. There's always a few in the middle as well. But, you know, like we do Jude the Unsinkable, which on the record is quite a sort of rocky track.
Yeah.
And I was worried about how that was going to work. But I absolutely love the acoustic version that we're now doing of it. So it's good. Hopefully a good song is a good song, I would like to think. And I think Jude the Unsinkable is my favourite song that I've written for a long time.
Right.
Because... Well, this album was really over the last 10, 11 years. And so it's a bit like a first album. And, you know, when you're doing albums every few years, they get on a kind of roll, but the songs all happen quite quickly. But this was a lot of feelings. I mean, I don't know if you know, I was very ill. I had cancer.
Yes.
Well, 10 years ago. And because of that, I lost my home, which I'd lived in since I was 22.
Oh, sorry to hear that.
That's all right. You know, I've still got a home, so I feel very lucky to still have a home. But then when I moved into my new home on my own, I got COVID right at the very beginning of the whole COVID thing. And I was really ill for about 6 weeks. And I really thought, well, I thought I was going to die from cancer. And then I thought I was going to die from COVID. And then as I started to feel better, I just started to sing again, and my voice sounds, I quite like it. It's a little bit more husky now, I think. That's probably from the COVID, but I wrote Jude the Unsinkable with my very good friend, Ben Mark. And Jude the Unsinkable is really encompasses all the songs on the album. It's like a song about survival. It's a song about, you know, realizing there were still things I wanted to say and do. And also I wrote about my, anxieties and how I sort of get through those, and nice people and horrible people. And, you know, I think that all the songs on this album relate to the last 10 years. and my feelings. And so I'm very, I wouldn't say proud, but I feel this album's very important to me, and I really want other people to hear it, and hopefully they'll like it too.
Well, I'm sure they will. I mean, I've just been seeing some of the advance notices on it, and well, you couldn't write some of these reviews. They're wonderful.
No, we've had amazing reviews, and a lot of people have been saying it's like they like it as much as the first album, which I know how important the first album is to people. Yeah. And I think it's just, I just want more people to hear it. And, you know, they can throw it away if they don't like it, but it'd be nice if they hear it.
Oh, they won't be throwing it away, Judy. They will not be throwing it away. Now, of course, you've got quite a substantial tour coming up. I'm looking at the dates here. Virtually all of October and November. That's quite a set of gigs you've got. And let me just see, Liverpool Philharmonic, Sunderland, Glasgow, Sheffield, Selby, Bath, which is probably the one that I will go to.
Oh, cool.
And Southampton. I mean, this is quite a substantial tour you've got.
I know. I hope I can do it.
a certain amount of trepidation there, is there?
I think there always is. I mean, it's one of those things. You never know, you know, like a voice isn't like an instrument that you can replace. It's like if I get flu or if I get COVID or if I get anything, you know, then I can't sing. So that changes everything. But I always worry about a lot of things. That's what my song Rituals is all about, which is on the album. But I've been pretty good at holding things off. I did a tour just before Christmas with Beverly Craven, and we did actually have COVID in the middle of it, but we were very lucky that we'd had 10 days, one gig in the middle of 10 days. So we only lost one show, but you just have to hope and try and stay healthy. And, you know, I'm sure I'll be fine. I usually am. I hate cancelling anything.
So listen, I did indicate earlier that we will finish with a recording from your new album. I mean, did you ever thought about the particular track you'd like us to play?
Well, do you know what? My favourite is Jude the Unsinkable, but I think that my people have put out Rituals as the single.
Okay.
I don't really know what singles are. It's up to you. I think one of those two would be fantastic.
Okay. Well, I think we'll go for Rituals. I think we'll go for that.
Okay.
If anybody needs to know more about what's happening in Judy Zook world, I mean, do I assume they just go to your website?
The website's the most reliable. It's all on there, my tour dates, how to buy the album and all those things. So, yes, which is zook.com, which is www.tzuke.com.
You'll have to say that a few more times in the coming weeks, I think.
Yeah. Well, most people know, but some people spell my name wrong. And then
that's right.
Blows everything. So I always repeat how it's spelt.
Well, Judy, it's been an absolute pleasure talking to you. And I wish you the best of luck with the album. And you're looking in fine fettle to me, and long may it continue.
Thank you very much. I hope to meet you at Bath.
Yeah, you certainly will. So
come and say hello.
I will. So thank you very much, Judy, and we're going to end now with that track from her new album, Judy Unsinkable, and this is Rituals.
I'm praying it's a close call, rage against the nightfall, turning to the rituals, just so I tear it down, my face up to the sunlight, grounded here in real life, hoping that the spark inside I've been lost among a lot of strangers. I've been waiting on the heavy changes, and I'm circling a truth that scares me. Chasing sleep that's never been there for me, holding out on the edge of glory. I'm staring at the space that's left in between. Should I stop trying to fight your corner when I just wanted to be there for you? Old habits that I get better lose. Yeah, I know we're all a little broken. It's a struggle keeping my hand open. And sometimes I forget to breathe. I'm praying.
Listen when you want, how you want. This was a Tone FM Listen Again.
All rights reserved, 2023.